The following show is proudly made in the USA, but secretly owned by China and is motivated by oil interests in the Middle East. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Said that Castro was making a speech to a large assembly, and he was going on at great length, and then a voice out in the crowd said, "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack." And he went on speaking, and again the voice said, "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack." And about the fourth time this happened, he stopped in his regular speech. And he said, the next time he says that, he says, "I'm going to find out who he is and kick him all the way to Miami." And everybody in the crowd said, "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack."
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show on a Friday edition. I love it. Friday's my favorite day of the week. In fact, I have Investigator Dave back with me, guesting on the show today. Investigator Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing good. Dave moved to Wisconsin. He's joining me from there. This will be a lot of fun today, talking about geopolitics. And I haven't actually covered hardly any geopolitics this week. And we've had so much going on. And so, you know, Dave's always kind of looking around the globe. And all of his background as a private investigator and also LAPD for years and years and years and years. And also traveling in the Middle East. You've done quite a bit of travel, haven't you, over there?
I have, yes. I've been to, I checked it out. It's been in 19 countries.
Wow. Jeez. Boy, I need to get out more. I'll tell you this. I think it's always interesting for me to listen to you because I don't always agree, and I always like hearing another point of view. And I always like you to explain that point of view. And that's why I think that this show is so important, is because we hear what we hear in the news, and we hear it repeatedly. So when somebody says something different that's going on, I think sometimes it's really hard to kind of wrap your brain around that and go, "Now, wait a minute, that's not how I feel." But I always think, ask why you feel that way. That's the best thing that we could always do. And that's why I appreciate Dave, is because he will look at things so differently than me sometimes and sort of nudge and go, "Hey, you know, you might want to just look at it from this other perspective." And even if I don't agree after that, I always like the perspective. I always think that's kind of cool, Dave. So I think this is a good discussion.
We've only had a couple of good arguments.
I know, right? In like 5 years. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I think it's good, because we have a certain story that's told about each country in our press. You're not going to hear too many different points of views. And so you might hear Ron Paul say something very different, but that's about it. And that's all we're exposed to. And that's why I love this. And I know a lot listening go to global news and what have you, but I always think this is kind of fun. I want to talk about Venezuela, because there's so much going on there right now. And I think people are really trying to figure out what's going on. And I haven't agreed with Trump on this one. I've agreed with a lot of the stuff that he has done this week, but not this. And so this will be kind of interesting. Give me this sort of the lowdown on Venezuela, Dave.
Well, where's all this information on Venezuela coming from? What are the news sources?
I think, the AP and Reuters. Yeah. It usually comes from two different sources. Yep. You're right.
Yeah, so immediately I start getting suspicious.
Yep.
Right? It's all this fake news, and it's coming from people, you know, like John Bolton, Elliot Abrams, Michael Pale. Well, wait a minute, who are they?
Well, they have those two have a very, very bad record. If you want to really look at it, I'm actually ticked off that they are even in the positions they're in, because they are globalists and they're thugs. And I look at their past. I mean, my gosh, I don't even know how people can't question why they're in the positions.
Bolton and Abrams were both heavily involved in the project for a new American century. What does that tell you?
The PNAC.
Yeah. Russia's fallen down. We can take over the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's the basis of that project for a new American century. And let alone Abrams with his Iran-Contra connections,
pretty severe,
communists down there,
right?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, where's all this information coming from? So I did some investigation, a lot of investigation. Now I've been down to Guyana. I went down there on a business trip and learned a lot about Guyana. In fact, I was fortunately, because we were trying to do a business down there, we were able to talk from the president, cabinet ministers, to the farmers out in the fields, and even the campesinos, or, you know, the down the lowest in the shanty town.
Right.
And went through the whole thing. It was... It's very, very interesting. You learn something. Now, Guyana is right next to Venezuela, and the demographics are kind of similar, not entirely. Guyana is over 50% what they call Amerinds. They call them Amerinds. They're Indians, indigent Indians that are down there. And then they have an awful lot of Hindus there from India, because when England eventually first took over the country, they imported slaves from India, and those are their descendants. And then they've got some blacks that they also imported for slaves after the Indian thing didn't work out. India-Indian thing didn't work out.
Right.
And but the royalty, the government, the people that run it are almost all Hindu.
Wow.
Or English. And so, you know, that's where they are. They're lighter skinned. They talk good English. They, and by the way, Guyana is an English-speaking country, and it's, you know, it's the same kind of a thing. And then I flip over to Venezuela, and what do we got there? Well, we've got a 51%, you know, are Amerinds. They're Indians.
Okay.
And if you look at Maduro and Hugo Chavez, these guys are big guys, dark skin, round faces. These are Amerinds. Okay, these are the they come from the lower, if I can call it that, lower class of society, and rose up through the ranks. Look at Guido, and I his actual pronunciation is with a G is kind of a O, so it's Guido.
Okay,
but it sounds too much like sounds too much like Guido, which is a slang on Italian, so we don't use that. We go Guido.
Okay,
sounds better.
Right.
Okay, light skin, CIA based. Benjamin Franklin Lodge, you know, Masonic, he's heavily involved in societies there in the West, the Western societies and big money and banking.
Okay.
And so you've got these two different kinds of guys. In fact, when Guido proclaimed that he was president, did you know only 20%, according to a survey done in January, only 20% of the people knew who he was?
Really?
Not very
many. I did not know that.
He's a real upstart. Okay, but we've been pushing him to the front.
Right.
Yeah, so he's in there. But what happened? Venezuela, I'm going to go back to the history of Venezuela just a little bit. They were, like a lot of countries back there, a semi-capitalist enterprise. Okay, but they were, a lot of their resources were being taken from, you know, the West.
Right.
Particularly the United States. And they had a bunch of rich people, about 20%, and then everybody else was either, a few were middle class and the rest were campesinos, okay?
Okay.
The lower class of society. And that's the way it was back under capitalism, the quote, unquote. And then Hugo Chavez comes in, and boy, he was really popular because it was a democratic country. He got elected with just over 50% of the vote. Later, in later elections, over 60% of the vote. He became more and more popular. But he campaigned on reform, kind of a socialism, if you will, to a moderate socialism in order to change, to equalize everything. He took some of the large land estates and divided among the people. He increased education among the people. In fact, the unemployment went down. There was a 10% drop in poverty. He set up schools for education. But his problem was is that he based almost all of his reforms on oil income.
Ah, well, and the other problem being that whenever they do this, and when Roosevelt did this, everything was great for a couple of years. People loved it because everybody got something for free. But that doesn't last. And so it might look good for a couple of years, but it never lasts. And so this was the exact same scenario. He's given out all these freebies. People love him. Who doesn't love something free, right? And except the ones that love their liberty. And they you realize that it can't last. And then on top of that, he bases it on their oil income.
Yeah, Well, it was kind of like a Johnny One Note.
Right.
If the oil prices were high, everything was great. If the oil prices were low, things weren't so great. Other countries have realized this. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, especially the UAE, they brought in tourism. Saudi Arabia is trying to have big cattle farms. They have some other source of income besides, you know, just the oil revenues. If you do that, you're, you know, it's kind of like flying the F-35. It's only got one jet engine.
If it goes down, you're sunk.
Down.
Right.
Where most of the jets today have two.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was is that things were okay, yes and no, up and down, up and down. But he was having a lot of trouble with the states and local governments because they were as corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having a hard time. The money's going through and getting caught up and hung up in there. And a lot of it was not getting to the people the way he wanted it to.
Right.
He organized what was called communal councils. And he said any group of people with a common interest that get together, elect their own leader, have a representative, and drop some bylaws, I'll deal with you directly. And I will, you know, give you the money or the resources to be able to do it and completely bypass it. The states and local governments.
Right.
It became a top-down type of a setup, which of course, he's got a lot of enemies, especially those people who are raking in the bucks. And so, and plus, you know, Hugo Chavez was kind of a real wild card.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, politically on the scene.
Right.
He came over to the United States in 2006, just before he died. And he called the U.S. Congress. He says, I want to demand that the government of President Bush explain the self-inflicted attack on the World Trade Center and its victims. The supposed aircraft that crashed into the Pentagon and the links between Bin Laden family and the Bush family.
Right.
I mean, he's broadcasting this stuff out. Right? And then he called George Bush the very devil.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made another mistake when he compared Israel to Hitler when they invaded Lebanon in 2006.
And then on top of it, you know, he's a socialist. So you've got that component, too. And it's funny because here he was sort of calling out some of the things that needed to be called out. But on the other hand, his politics, his government style is different. And right in lockstep with a lot of our liberals. So it was kind of an interesting mix. Be right back. More with Investigator Dave. Okay. When we come back, we'll talk more about Venezuela. You've got to hear some of this. This is so good. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. And you know, I miss Dave's goofy music. And let me say this, Investigator Dave. This song reminds me of you. He sang this in studio one time with the person that Carl Lamar that works on our computer. And I just, it was actually really good. So hats off to you, Dave. It was really quite good. But I'll never forget being serenaded by this song. So welcome back, Investigator Dave. And by the way, you can go to katedalyradio.com. You can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. We're talking about Chavez, and we're talking about, you know, he was calling some things out that needed to be called out, okay, that were happening here in the United States, especially around 9/11. And at the same time, though, he was the same one that was taking the land, the land from the landowners, those that had a little money that actually earned the properties, and they were, you know, cultivating these properties. He took that land and gave it to the poor who could not who could not do anything with it. And that was the beginning too of some major things that happened and that's why Venezuela finds itself today in the situation it is today. But there's way more to the story than just that. But that certainly started the demise. But tell me about Chavez, because you were talking about the fact that he was calling out Bush. He was calling things out. The guy's obviously, you know, socialist/communist. I mean, this is who he is. But tell me your thoughts about Chavez and then where that leads to with Maduro.
Well, Chavez was antagonizing the deep state quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know that 24% of the oil revenues in the world, I guess, are underneath Venezuela.
Right.
And it's more than any other country in the world. I think with the other one, there's 21%, Saudi Arabia or something. They've got a tremendous amount of oil, and they also produce gold.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some great gold mining factories. So they're lucrative. They're
right. They were doing really well.
Everybody wants.
They were doing
okay,
well.
Okay, so anyway, Chavez was nationalizing the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want the West to be soaking off all the profits, and he wanted to keep those profits in Venezuela. Now, what's best for the people of Venezuela, I don't know.
Well, to keep their money.
Capitalism.
Yeah. And it wasn't corrupt. I mean, that's how they grew into the country they were, too. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, as far as utilizing their own resources, that should be that country's resources. I mean, that we have no place in that.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, they keep voting people like Maduro and Chavez in. And so they're apparently think it's better than it used to be. But anyway, what Chavez did and Maduro now has done
mm-hmm.
is they've instituted a kind of government-controlled capitalism, if you
right,
will,
right.
through these communal councils and other things. There was a big paper company there in Caracas, and it went out of business because they just couldn't run it, the owners.
Mm-hmm.
So the people themselves that used to work there were all out of work, and so they all got together and decided they're going to run it anyway. It produced cardboard and paper. But they couldn't get the capital flowing, and they also couldn't get the contracts working out with the previous owners. And so Maduro just came in and said, okay, well, I'm recognizing this. I'll send you the money to get it going again,
mm-hmm.
and I will steer other companies here in Venezuela to buy your products, and got it going again. Now, yes, it's independently owned. It's owned by the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not owned by the government. It's helped by the people. It's kind of a government-subsidized capitalism,
right.
if you will.
Yeah.
It's called fascism
mm-hmm.
When you do that.
Right.
But it worked. Fascism worked well for Germany. I mean, they really prospered in the 30s under that system. The trouble is...
Prospered? They just didn't have any freedom. isn't that funny,
you
though?
You got some. It's not like total capitalism. Yeah. It's kind of a mixture that's in there. So anyway, Hugo Chavez caught cancer,
mm-hmm.
kind of like Jack Ruby.
Right.
And,
yeah. The CIA
so he
kind?
Went to Cuba
yes.
to try to get there because Castro's doctors, you know, they're supposed mm-hmm. to be some of the best. And they, although they're not, I listened to one guy that actually went to the hospital over there and was miserable. But anyway, we went down there to see if they could help him cure the cancer, and he died.
Mm-hmm.
And his vice president, this is 2013, he'd been in there for 14 years, since 1999,
right.
I guess. He died, and Nicolas Maduro was the vice president. And under the Venezuelan constitution, the vice president takes over when the president's dead or incapacitated or mentally,
mm-hmm.
you know, can't
sure.
do it. So Maduro took over. They had an election within, 6 months, and he got the vote and stayed in. And so now it was Maduro. He's kind of the protege of Hugo Chavez. A lot of the same policies and practices and things. So the people that gave, and I believe they gave it to him, cancer to Chavez, hoping for
mm-hmm.
Somebody in the National Assembly, somebody opposing him would, you know, we'd finally get this guy out. They were disappointed.
Okay.
They got, you know, same guy. They got Hugo Chavez too.
Yeah. Right.
If you will.
Right.
So, okay, so he's enacted some of the same policies. And so consequently, since then, there's been this slow but an effort. Mm-hmm. Is that coming through on yours?
Yes. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I'll just keep going. Okay. There's been this effort to topple them. Mm-hmm. Slow but sure. Building up pressure from one side, building up another. And finally, things are finally coming to a head now. And they're doing whatever they can to tackle him. They bring out this Guido guy,
mm-hmm.
and hardly anybody knows him. He's a light-skinned. You'll notice he's. You ever notice that just stand them both together, you can tell what part of the country they're from.
Well, he's a Venezuelan. He was living in the U.S. and he was at the Harvard Center for International Development and worked on the so-called Venezuela project of the Harvard Growth Lab for International Development. And so what they want to do and what they have done as sort of a project that they're enacting is to divvy up to multinational corporations, right? The Venezuela's oil resources, like basically take that over. And then usually when we demonstrate, you know, a coup like this, we want that person in there. All the politicians are behind them. Usually both houses are behind them. And then that person hands it over to some of these nefarious sources in banking and what have you, right?
Yeah.
That's what he'd like to do.
In fact, Elliot Abrams, didn't he out and out said that.
Yeah.
There's a reason we're going in there so we can get their oil.
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
crazy.
It's insane. It is insane.
It's out in the open.
Right.
So forget this other thing. Now, are they starving to death? Are they eating bugs and everything's bad? Well, not really. Now, I listened to, Max Blumenthal went down there for 2.5 weeks, and mm-hmm. he gave a big report on this thing. And he was there at the airport when the big, when they had that food trucks trying to come in from Colombia that mm-hmm. we sent there?
Yes.
And they would not allow them in. In fact, the trucks ended up getting burned. Mm-hmm. He didn't go to that scene. He went down to the airport where the big demonstration was.
Right.
Against Maduro at the same time, because they figure if the trucks come in at this demonstration, they're going to pull off a coup, just like they did in Syria mm-hmm. when they had the students revolt, and then, shoot a couple of them,
right.
Get the people mad, and then all of a sudden you get the ISIS coming in.
See, I'm mixed on the stories about how they're living and what they're doing, because things have been cut off. And at the same time, though, I think it's curious. I know that there's one big, huge story about Maduro blocking a bridge. The problem with that story, though, is that they have painted that in mainstream as, he's blocking the bridge, he's blocking stuff coming in. But if you really look at that, that wasn't a bridge that was used. So they're acting like he cut off the main highway, and that isn't the case. That it was a bridge that certainly hasn't been used for a long time. The other thing,
yeah.
too, is that within the aid that we're sending over, we're not sending over a ton, but we're sending over a little bit, that there's more to that than him just denying the food, right? Because he realizes that there's weapons, there's all kinds of things too that want to get into the country, and sometimes the Trojan horse is the aid that we send in these kinds of situations. And the reason I say that, and I know people have a hard time with this, is that I can go clear back in history and show you all the way from 1948 that we do this. So I mean, it's not happened before, right?
Yeah, you use the right words, Trojan horse.
Yeah,
that's what Maduro said it was. He says they were. Mm-hmm. Who knows what they're bringing in? Could be M16s for that matter. Who knows?
Right.
And but at the same time, Venezuela's been accepting aid from all around the world.
Yeah,
from Russia, right. China, Turkey, mm-hmm. and other aid packages all around the world. Are coming in. They just don't trust the stuff coming in from us.
Yeah, and the government they have shot some college students. They have done some things that are despicable, and I think I don't want to gloss over that. I mean, there have been serious things going on down there. At the same time, trying to understand who's on what side, that's tricky, because we're totally told a story here, but sometimes it doesn't always match up. And so And so the stories of starving, I do feel like, yes, their costs went high, and there's a lot of people that can't afford, right, to because they can't get anything in, or they can't get in what they used to have. It'd be like here, if all of a sudden, you know, everything stopped coming in, everything would be at a high price premium. Getting medical care, all those things would probably be tough, don't you think? Or maybe not. Maybe you've heard differently.
Well, it all depends on who
is reporting.
Now, the eastern part of Venezuela, up there with the 20%, mm-hmm. where the rich people are,
right.
they're eating high. They got the malls are open, the restaurants are open.
They're doing
sushi,
okay.
Everything's good over there. Those are the rich people.
Right.
In fact, the La Carlota Air Base is close to there, and that's where Max went.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a neat article on that. He's a video. He goes over there, and that's where they had the big demonstration. But he noticed something. For most of the people in the demonstration, there weren't a whole lot of them. They were carrying signs and demonstrating, but they were wearing white shirts,
mm-hmm.
and they were dressed well. And they had this radical, actually, I wrote down her name, I can't remember, woman get up, she's a bit real radical,
mm-hmm.
and give this big speech. And after the speech was over, they just picked up their signs, and everybody went to a Chinese restaurant. And, you know,
okay.
it was amazing. Mm-hmm. It just kind of dissipated. The whole thing was staged.
Mm.
Now, he's also gone over there to the poor area.
Right.
And he says they're eating. The government provides what they call these clap boxes. It's basic foodstuffs.
Okay.
And they bring these out in trucks, and they're supplying the people as best as they can with these clap boxes. At least it keeps them going. But reading about and I read a bunch of the stories from people from Venezuela, and basically they said the big thing is that the hope is gone.
Mm.
It doesn't look like we can hope for anything anymore. Under the old system, you mm-hmm. know, we were constantly suppressed, and under the new system,
right.
we're, you know,
getting hijacked.
No opportunity.
Well, they're getting hijacked is what's going on, and I think they can see
yeah.
that. And they should have their own country. We shouldn't have a say in it. We shouldn't be involved in it.
I agree.
Yeah, we'll be right back. More with Investigator Dave is my guest today, and we'll be right back talking geopolitics today.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show on a Friday. I've got Investigator Dave with me. He's joining me today. We're talking about geopolitics. We're talking about Venezuela. And maybe we, by the end of the show, we might get to the part about the veterans and what's going on there. There's so much to talk about. There's a pretty deep rabbit hole involved there. And I, if we have time, we'll get to that too. Also, by the way, just major headlines, Trump threatening to shut down the border for trade, trying everything he can do. So that we can stop this influx of individuals into our country like crazy. And then also there was a great article on U.S. Invading an East China in the East China Sea, an island, and nobody's noticing. So there's a huge amount of stuff. If we can get to all of it, we will. But let's go back to Venezuela for a minute, because I don't think people are realizing what's really going on, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we've got is Venezuela. It's not as dire as everybody says. Yes, they got problems, and a lot of it's social problems now.
Mm-hmm. Because they need a reason to intervene, right?
Food scarce and everything. You mm-hmm. got crime.
Right.
And of course, the involved with Colombia, which borders, it's got a high crime rate too.
Mm-hmm.
They've always had that crime rate, but it's even exacerbated now. So. The situation socially is they got problems economically, mm-hmm. yeah. But as far
as the
population figures, you know, the latest studies that have been done, 43 people a day leave Venezuela.
Wow.
100 are born. 100 are born.
Wow.
Population's still growing.
Okay. And then do you think that the CIA turned out the lights down there? Because they've been trying to do what they can do to get an intervention, right? Because we have. And so I know it's hard for people to hear this, but we have been trying and trying and trying to get in there. And so maybe that's why the press is ratcheting it up to so dire. We're eating flamingos and things like that. But also you have to create the issues so that we intervene. Look what they did in Syria. Assad wasn't gassing his people, but they made it seem like it was so dire that people were dying at the hands of Assad, so we must go in. We heard that from Obama. You know, so there has to be a catalyst, and they have to make it pretty dire in order for us to emotionally latch on and go, okay, you know, we'll go and have the American people support it.
Yeah, they say that he's an evil dictator like Assad, you know, but then why is Guaido still running around, you know, unarrested, making his demonstrations and things? So, yes, I do. As far as the power, let me tell you about what you can do is you can make the people so disgruntled and you're trying to get them to revolt, to get, rise up somehow. So apparently investigation done by the Venezuelan police, and I believe also done by some Russian police, they show that somebody with a long-range, high-powered rifle has been taking out the power transformers and power plants there.
Well, maybe that's where that story came from.
And this same thing happened, almost happened completely in California about 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
That's interesting.
Some guy was, because Los Angeles is, you know, there's a thin line that keeps the power supply going.
Sure.
And they were going to take it out with rifles. It's very, very easy. So anyway, I think that was one of the main reasons. And 2-3 days in a row, but the consequences of this are terrible because electricity runs the subway system in Caracas and elsewhere. And there's not a lot of gasoline, not a lot of cars. And everybody, almost everybody, if they're going to work or doing anything, they have to take that subway. It's jammed, crowded, it's hot, it's sweaty, and all of a sudden, the thing shuts down. That's not good. And, you know, and so that's just one of the many things. So for 3 days over last week, you know, it's been taken out. They keep trying to put it back up. 80% of it's up again, and all of a sudden somebody takes it out again.
Yeah.
And this, it's not just because of disuse. It's because it's conspiracy.
Yeah. And here's another facet too. Why in the world is Marco Rubio down there? Because, you know, he will go along with whatever he's told to do. I've heard they have tapes on him, and very revealing tapes that he doesn't want out. And that's why he kind of bowed out of even trying, really trying for the presidency in 2016. But, you know, here's a person that is only for the state of Florida, yet why is he sent down as a point man to assess the situation down there? And nobody ever thinks about that. These people should only be beholden to those that elected them in that little tiny group of people that elect them, wherever that city or county or state is. But it's funny how the deep state operates, because I've always thought Marco Rubio is part of that, you know, Gang of Eight and all these crazy things that he's always been a part of. And I truly believe he'll do whatever he's told to do. And I think people should recognize his role down there for what it is.
Wasn't his dad in Dallas when Kennedy got shot?
Yeah, I remember a story about that. Yeah,
even Trump said that.
Yeah, very interesting.
During the election campaign, why was his dad down there? You know,
And here's a question for you, Dave. Why is Trump for this? Why isn't he seeing through this? Or do you think he is? But he's because I remember with North Korea, he said all the stuff he said, and then he wanted obviously things in the background to go differently. Now that doesn't give him a pass. He is certainly ratcheting it up a notch by talking about intervening. And I don't agree with this at all. And so what's your stance on Trump and his viewpoint on this?
Well, I disagree with Trump entirely on this, but I might agree. Again, I got two things. Either one, he's under their influence, under the deep state, as much as at least their foreign policy, because he's got these neocons in there. And they're, you know, most of them are really tied to Israel, and he's done some really interesting things over there recently. Or two, we know that he communicates with Russia, at least Putin.
Right.
At least Putin says he does, and they do communications. Well, Russia's been sending troops in. They just sent 100 troops in there, which Trump goes, oh, I'm shocked. I want them out of there right now, you know, knowing that if you put the pressure on, Venezuela will wrap themselves, when the wind blows, they'll wrap themselves tighter. They'll call for help. Russia will come in. China will come in. They're already sending in aid and stuff. It was about 4 or 5 months ago, 350 of Wagner, Russian Wagner mercenaries went in there protecting. Those are, that's their Blackwater.
Right.
That's, these are their special ops guys, and they're in there now. And I'm sure they're probably hunting down that sharpshooter that's taken out. I think he might be just playing along on this, knowing that these three idiots, Bolton, Abrams, and Pompeo, are not going to be able to pull off what they think they're going to pull off. And they're putting stops to it and just letting them run the gamut.
I hope so. The chances of that seem slim to me right now. But, I mean, you know, I would hope for that, but he's been saying so much that the deep state would just be applauding right now when it comes to Venezuela. Yeah. Other stuff he's doing great. In America he's doing great, but down there, I don't know. I mean,
it's bad.
Yeah.
And who knows? You know, this. Who do you have to get in bed with to make the things that you want to get done? It's there's nobody's pure.
Right.
And everybody has to make compromises here and there. It was really interesting when I was reading John Kennedy's book on that, and he explained it in quite some detail how you had to do that. You if you want to get something done, there are people with all kinds of interests, and you're just not going to get anything done unless you give here and take there and a little bit here. And maybe that's what's happening. I don't know, but it's really disappointing to me. It's hard to be a president and just take over and make everybody do what you want to do. Even Maduro, who's, you know, over there in Venezuela, is one of the strong men. He can't get a lot of the local governments and people to do what he wants.
Right.
And he's having to fight them. I wish I was a fly on the wall there.
What really hurts me
just recently, we slapped an insulin ban on him. And these sanctions and quarantine. So as if it's not enough that what they're doing, you know, shooting and taking out things, this darn quarantine by the central banks. And, you know, Venezuela's got a lot of oil, but it's heavy oil.
Right.
It's crude. They need to refine that stuff. And so they've got a big contract with the Texas oil refineries. Just ship it right across the Gulf up there to Houston. They'll refine it for you, and then you can ship it overseas. And now we've canceled that. And say, no more Venezuelan oil. Well, I don't know about you, but here in Wisconsin, gas prices have gone up 40 cents.
Right.
Recently.
Don't you think that's opportunist, though? I mean, it's kind of like food prices going up when the gas prices weren't going up, and all of a sudden, you know, it's just opportunists sort of going, well, you know, we can gouge here and there. I don't know. Because I don't know how that, I mean.
But I know that Citgo used to supply an awful lot of gas here. In fact, back in 2006, when New York was running out of gas and they were having a super hard winter.
Right.
And they were worried about everybody freezing to death. I mean, Hugo Chavez supplied them with like 40,000 gallons of oil, enough to supply 200,000 people all winter long. At 40% discount. They almost gave it away, so to keep them alive, and these are not Venezuelans in New York, you know.
Right.
People are still puzzled why he did it, but I think he did it because they needed it.
And I think if people,
go ahead.
Well, I think if people kind of guess, you know, or trying to say, well, you know, we're not really trying to take over Venezuela or install our guy. In all the coups since 1948 that we've been a part of, and other people's elections and other coups and coups in other countries, we always seem to have the replacement ready. So I look at that like well laid plans, because we always have our guy ready. If we didn't, and people really did think that we were going into these other countries for humanitarian reasons, we wouldn't be installing somebody. But we certainly are, and they're usually part of of from here. They're usually from or have been trained by the deep state, and it's pretty obvious. And so we just always seem to have a guy ready in the wings. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, we get them ready. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You're right.
Right.
I agree with you, but the solution, is there a solution to this whole thing? I don't know. The only way you can do it is you got to kind of clean up everything.
Okay.
I mean, you got to have a rule of law in Venezuela. You've got to have a rule of law, mm-hmm. and you've got to have the people give them hope and progress. And I agree with you. It comes through a free enterprise system,
right,
where people can have enough resources to actually invest in something or get together and open up a bakery or whatever it is, you know, and make mm-hmm. it work.
Yeah.
You have to do that. Now, I don't know.
It's a hard thing for us. We've been told a lot of things over the years, and for some reason we do feel like we're always taking the moral high ground, and that we need to intervene, or nobody will ever take be as valiant as we are in the cause. And so that's the lie. That's the lie we're always told, and it's worked because people still believe that. They still believe that if we go down there, it'll be just great. So I think the American people need a huge wake up call to stop intervening. Isolationist. I know they use that dirty word to try and paint it as bad as they can, but our founders felt like they did not want to do these kinds of things. They only wanted trade. That it was never about takeovers. And I don't know why us as general population feel that that's okay, that we go and do that just because we might have good intentions. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't have good intentions.
Well,
so
we do it because we can.
Yeah.
I don't think we can anymore. Lavrov is, he was talking to Pompeo, and he says, you know what, you West's 500 years are ending. It's over now.
Well,
there's a new boy in town.
Yeah.
And so is there a turning point? Have we now reached that turning point where we are no longer really in control?
Well, what we need to, you're right. And what we need to recognize is we might have the best of intentions, but we're not the ones going down there and doing it. And the ones that are going down there and doing it don't. And so as nice as we think we are, and we are, our good intentions are not flowing over into these other countries. And so that's why, I don't know how many times we're going to have to do this before we figure it out that this isn't right, and that we're sending down people with pretty nefarious ideas to do these kinds of things, even though we might not have those same types of ideas. So.
International corporations, Exxon, mm-hmm. Shell,
right.
And all these, they're extremely powerful, extremely rich, and they've got a lot of pull and tug, and they don't just back off. On the back off.
We're gonna come right back with Dave. Investigator Dave today is my guest, and we're talking about geopolitics. Man, we have so much to go over. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show.